Please, and turn to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, starting with verse 1. Our scripture reading for the day. Familiar passage of scripture, but so anointed. Gosh, Lord have mercy. And as we read it together, get it in your heart, get it in your spirit, what God's saying to you this morning. Amen. Let's start with verse 1. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Let me just stop. That's an amazing scripture, people. It blows me away. Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." 3, "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." 4, "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." 5, "You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day." 6, "Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Yo, that's amazing right there. Verse 8, "Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked." 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation." 10, "There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling." 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." 12, "They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." 13, "You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet." 14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." 15, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." 16, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amazing scripture. Long life will I satisfy him. People, be satisfied where you're at in your life. God wants to give you many, many days. Don't cut yourself short. Many, many days. Be satisfied. That doesn't mean you shouldn't want to do better and grow in Christ. You just be satisfied, though. Amen. And show him my salvation. Praise God. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen." Well, I know last weekend was Easter. And I hope everyone had a great Easter. I hope your Sunday was just great. You might say, "Well, you know, mine was a little quiet," and that's okay. Sometimes quiet is good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I hope you had a great time, a great day. I hope you remembered what Jesus went through on Friday to get to Sunday. Remember what he did on Friday to get to Sunday, because it wasn't easy for him. But he did it out of love towards us, towards the human race. But I hope you had a great Easter. I hope you thought about what Jesus did, his resurrection from the grave, from the grave. We looked at how Jesus died, and it was a horrible death, of what he went through, how he was laid in a tomb, and on the third day he rose from the grave, in which he conquered death hell and the grave on that third day. You might say, well, you know, what happened after that? Well, there was many things that happened after that. One of the things, and I'll just kind of pinpoint it a little bit, and there's many things that happened, but one of the things is during that three-day process of time, from the Friday to the Sunday, and you got to remember, the Jewish days were not like what the days are today as far as 24 hours, okay? It wasn't like that. So it really was three actual Jewish days, okay? He was in that tomb there. He rose from the grave, and he brought the blood that he had, his blood that was spotless. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? Remember how the Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with gold and there was cherubims that stood over it watching? Well, once a year, the priests would go in. Once a year, that's all. And they would put blood upon that Ark of Covenant. They would sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. That's what they used. And God would oversee the sins of the Jewish people. He would overlook it, but it wouldn't wash it away. When Jesus took his blood to the Father, and basically the throne room or the Ark of the Covenant that was there upon the earth was just a replica of what was in heaven. When Jesus took his blood, the perfect Lamb of God, the blood that had never, a person that had never sinned upon the earth for 33 and a half years. Never. Not once. It was perfect. 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 Not one blemish of any kind in that blood. And as he went to the throne room of God, at that heavenly Ark of Covenant, and he took that blood and he sprinkled it upon the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, God looked at it and said, it's perfect. No other shedding of blood needs to be done upon the earth ever again because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Jesus spilling of his blood from the things they did to him. When God accepted it, he was saying mercy and grace to be expelled towards my people upon the earth forevermore. My Lord, can you imagine? And he said also, look, whatever sins they commit, and when they come to me and ask for forgiveness, I will forgive them and remember it no more. Shouting unto our God because he remembers it no more. When he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ shedding abroad upon our hearts and lives. That's why his mercy, that's why his grace, that's how his power and his love could be shed upon us beyond what we ever could think. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. My Lord, what a day that was. What a day. A day that brought back humanity back in fellowship with God. We were back in fellowship like we were when Adam and Eve was here before they sinned. Back in fellowship with him. But Jesus, all he did was went and brought it and presented it to the Father. The Father accepted it. And Jesus came back to the earth. We say, what are you talking about? He didn't take his rightful position until his ascension. You know, most people think, well, you know, when he rose from the grave, he went and he sat next to the Father. No. No, he didn't. Let's read in Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 1. how faithful. I want you to see how faithful God is. You have to remember this, and I'll bore note this. Jesus kept telling his disciples, I'm going to die, but I'll be raised back up in 3 days. That's when he said, look at the temple, this temple that took hundreds of years to build. He said, this temple I can destroy and rebuild back up in 3 days. They thought he was crazy. Crazy. The disciples looked and they just in disbelief. Look, when Jesus died on that cross, it almost destroyed the church, the body of Christ. Because they were scattered. They were gone. They were afraid. You know, they were scared. They didn't know if they were coming, the Roman people were coming, or the officials were coming after them. Because they knew all 12 of them. They knew their families. They knew what Jesus, the ones that followed him. See, they knew that they were his associates. They were scared, people. Even though Jesus, for 3.5 years, kept telling them, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised back up into life, the newness of life. He kept telling them. But you see, sometimes, I know they didn't listen maybe, but you know, sometimes we don't listen either. You know, God tells us something, we read something in his word, God speaks to us, oh yeah, okay, and then we forget. Or we just may not think that's going to happen. Because you see, they wanted Jesus to go to that throne on earth and be king. They wanted to crown him king, but that was not God's way. Because the shedding of blood had to be done to eliminate sin upon the earth for humanity. So look at Acts chapter 1. Look at starting with verse 2. It says, Acts chapter 1, page 1900, verse 2. It said, until the day in which he was taken up, talking about the resurrection, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus resurrected from the grave. And last week, like I said, the angels, after he rose from the grave, and the disciples and Mary Magdalene went through to the tomb. When they looked in, especially Mary Magdalene, they saw there was one angel sitting at the head where Jesus' head used to be, and one where Jesus' feet used to be, seated, because it had been done. It had been done. He had been resurrected from the grave. He went, he presented it, his blood to the Father. The Father accepted it for all eternity. From the past, the present, and how you say, how you know the past and the present? Because when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, it says that he also went to a place called, paradise. And got the people that were held there because they could not go into heaven yet. Because the price of bulls and the blood of bulls and goats could not get them into heaven. It had to be the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus went into that place, which was basically a part of hell, really. But it was a place where they were not tormented. Like the men of old, like Moses and Abraham, you know, those people, you know, just that served God, Joshua, that served God. But yet God couldn't let them in because the price had not been paid. He went there and he got them. And he went to another part of hell, which he spoke to those spirits. Some people think demon spirits, and said what he had done and how he had won could be. But Jesus, after that resurrection, took his blood, brought it to the Father, and he came back to earth. Now, he wasn't in, he had a spiritual body now. Now, it does say, and we're going to read scripture, where, you know, at one time he ate with them. So he had that body that was physical, but it was a spiritual body, which Adam and Eve had at the beginning of time, till they sinned. Wow. And here, for 40 days, he came back. You know why he came back? Because of the people. He came back. He was speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God to the disciples. He came to strengthen the disciples' faith and solidifying the truth of his resurrection. He appeared to his followers, demonstrating his resurrected body. Praise God. Let me say it again. He appeared to his followers, demonstrating his resurrected body. He was speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God and strengthening the disciples of faith and solidifying the truth of his resurrection. Here we see an amazing factor here. Jesus resurrected. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was poured out. Interesting, huh? From the time he resurrected for 40 days, he was upon the earth helping his disciples. They were in disarray, people. They were running. They didn't know what to do. But he was coming and he was comforting them and helping them and being with them. There was only a 10-day span of time that the Holy Spirit wasn't here and Jesus had went back and went to the throne room of God. Why? I don't know. That's how important those disciples and those people, Mary Magdalene and the disciples and the people that saw him. He was coming to help them. It should bring some comfort to you and I that God will never let you be alone. The devil will try to tell you, oh, you know, nobody cares about you. You know, you're all alone. You're nothing. That's not truth. Just Jesus Christ, just the Holy Spirit, just him in helping us. Here he took the time for 40 days to be upon the earth. Do you think he deserved to be on the throne? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Do you think he deserved to be in heaven? Definitely. But he took the time out not to go to that place of honor and respect for what you have done, and came back down and was helping the people, his disciples, helping the body of Christ, helping the church of the living God. How much more that now that the Holy Spirit is here, helping the body of Christ, helping you to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Now that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, now we can accept Jesus Christ and him come and dwell in our spirits, come and dwell in our lives. How much more does God want to move in us and help us throughout our walk with him? The Bible says that God will never leave us and he will never, ever, ever forsake us. You need to get that scripture and you need to put it in your heart, put it in your mind that he will take care of you. Amen. My Lord, he will take care of his people. He came back for 40 days to take care of those disciples, to take care of Mary Magdalene. She was the first one to see him after he resurrected. My God, after he did what he did with the Father, coming back, she was the first one as she looked into that tomb and she saw he was not there. That tells me they didn't believe that he would be resurrected. You're not going to go look into something if you knew he was resurrected. We can't point fingers either, though. What would we have done? But here she's crying and beseeching, want to find out where his body was. And all of a sudden she starts speaking to a man. Oh, that tells me he looked like a human being. Resurrected. He looked like a human being. My Lord. He looked like a human being. Like what he was. But in a resurrected body. Crying. Saying, where have they laid him? Tell me so I can go get him. See their love. They loved Jesus physically. They loved him. Because of what they've done for him. We love him, but because of what God has done for us. My God, if it wasn't for his mercy and grace, where would we be? If he wouldn't have taken his hand and taken us out of the evil that we were probably in and saved our souls, where would we be today? But his mercy and grace saved our souls, healed our bodies, gave us new direction, gave us new hope. For 40 days, he said, I'm going to take care of them. He'd come into places where they were just there and just appear with his disciples, with people. James, my Lord, James. I want you to turn, if you would. Oh, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. My Lord. Page 2026. It's only 11 o'clock. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. I'm probably looking, oh, Lord. Pastor, you need to tell time. 2026. Look at this. Chapter 15. Look at verse 4. And that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. I'm going to stop just for a minute right there, and we'll get in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. It talked about, and it said this, infallible proofs. It says that it's infallible proof that he rose from the grave and that his ascension happened. Infallible proof is evidence that is undeniably true and cannot be proven wrong. They cannot prove it wrong. It's an empty tomb. And it signifies a certainty so strong that it is impossible to doubt. Oh. People, we have an assurance with our God. He rose from the grave. My Lord gave us freedom. And look at this. Let's start with verse 4 again, if you don't mind. Thank you. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen, okay, by Peter. Then of the 12, so he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. Yo, this is a mighty God. Infallible proof. And of whom the greater part remain unto this present, still alive. But some are fallen asleep and have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So here we see he was seen of Peter, the 12 disciples, 500 brethren. He was seen above. That's God. 500 people saw him. They were probably having some kind of outing. Now, this is just me, okay? I mean, how can you gather 500 people? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It had to be something. Something had to draw them. You know, something had to draw them. Had to be a barbecue, you know, crawfish ball, picnic. Something had to draw them. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. But all of a sudden, 500 people look up, and it's above, and it's Christ. He's alive and well. He's not in that tomb. No one has taken his body. I know they tried to pay off the soldiers that were in front of that tomb by the Roman soldiers. By the Roman government, they tried to pay them off, but they could not, because it was infallible proof that our God rose from the grave and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me today. That he's sending out, and you can read it in Hebrews, ministering spirits to minister for us. You don't realize, yes, Jesus died on that cross, but I tell you, there were ministering spirits that were sent down by angels to come and minister to him, to strengthen him, to help him. He was 100% man, yet he was 100% God. Ooh. To help. We're not in this alone, people. You're not walking through this valley alone. You have the great God sitting upon the throne, and he's leashing out the spirit of God upon us. We serve a great and mighty God to accomplish the things that he desires and wants us to do. You don't have to make the final decision. He makes the final decision. You don't have to make any decision. God makes any decision for you. We are his people. The sheep of his pasture. He's the great shepherd. Praise God. The great shepherd says what goes on. He allows or disallows. That's the power of our God. He determines what happens. He goes before us. He lays those places that are straight for us. He makes the crooked places straight. That's the kind of God we serve. He's the great God Jehovah that has gone up to heaven and has been seated upon the throne. That's why it says sit. He sat. Because it's done. 11:30. I'm going to have to conclude this next week because I have a lot of other stuff. I can't leave it out. He ascended. After 40 days. And we're going to read some scripture next week about all that. But let me tell you, he didn't leave these disciples alone. He didn't let Mary Magdalene be alone. Mary Magdalene. You remember how many spirits she had cast out of her? 7. That's completion with God. 7. Taken out of her. Let me tell you something. When God's on the scene, there's no demon in hell that can stand with God. So this is what you do. You stay under his feathers. And I know that's just what the scripture says in 91. That just means his arms. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Because it's when we get out of the shadow of the Almighty is when we get in trouble. So we got to run back to him. We got to say, Father, I put my faith back in you. What you've done at Calvary's cross. You've given me the victory, Lord. And let him shadow you again. And keep you. See, destruction, as we read in 91, Psalms 91, can come upon the whole world. But it says it will not come nigh unto his people. People, because he knows how to protect his people. See, the enemy comes what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Let's say it again. The enemy comes to what? Good. But God has come to give us what? And to have it what? He has come to give us what? And to have it what? Amen. Most Christians know how to quote the first part, but they don't even know the second part. That's a shame. A but makes a difference. That comma makes a difference. God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Amen. Look, we're living in a time where God is pouring out his spirit, people. Keep on going. Don't let anyone, anything get in your path to cross you that will stop you from serving God. Because we know we have victory because of Him, my Lord. We will continue this next week. I have to. Thank you.